the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to study the Word of God, and I'm glad that you have joined us today. We're in the Gospel of John, John chapter 6. We're going to be reading from verse 22 down through verse 27. Now, let's take 28 as well. John chapter 6, verse 22 through 28. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Our mailing address, if you would do the same, Parkview Bible Church, 18th and Church Street, Box 43, and the zip code is 62341, and again, Hamilton, Illinois. So please that you would write us a note if you'd like to. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a joy to know that folks are listening to the precious Word of God. John chapter 6 now. Hope you have your Bibles open. You can follow along with me today as we study the precious Word. John chapter 6, verse 22. And the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat that perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Let's go to the Lord in prayer after we've read his precious word. Father, I thank you today that we can come. Now please, if you would just lead us, Father, as we come to you and as we come to into your word and study it to know more about you. That's exactly what we want, Lord. We want to know more about you. I ask today, as we have folks listening, that if they have never come by faith to the Lord Jesus, they do not have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. They did not recognize that Jesus died on the cross for them, that they might have their sins forgiven. And maybe, Father, they didn't realize that there's a step more than just having the head knowledge. It's to do with the heart, Lord. I ask that you do a great work in the hearts of all that are listening, in my own heart as well, Lord, as we study your word today, that people will not only confess you as their Savior, believe in their heart and come to you, and also then surrender their lives in service unto you. Now please, Lord, guide and lead us as we study the Word today. It's such a privilege to have this time and this opportunity and to have your Word in your fellowship, Lord. Please guide and lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've looked at the other scripture areas concerning Peter and him walking on the water. We have the feeding of the 5,000, and we've enjoyed that. And as we look at the steps and as the life continues of the Lord Jesus here, a day at a time, as we get to look at the things and the miracles and all that the Lord Jesus performed as he was here on earth. And as he was here to prove that he was God, he was coming to seek and to save those that are lost. And it's such a joy to look to the Word of God and somewhat go through a day-by-day steps with the Lord Jesus, learn again more about him. As the ships now, as the multitude was fed and the bread was gathered back up, they had so much left over, and we know that it was all gathered back up. Never is the Lord Jesus promoting any waste at all. And so please that you will look unto the Lord Jesus and realize, yes, he's your Savior and he's also the guide of your life, and we need to learn how we're to walk each day. And so if we look now at the scripture verses, why we find again the feeding of the 5,000, and then as the multitude seemed to kind of come upon him, they were recognizing in verse 14, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. They were beginning to recognize that he was definitely more than just a man. And then the disciples all went into the ship, and Jesus slipped up into the mountain. One of the other Gospels mentions that he slipped away to pray. And so now that he has slipped away to pray, and now we have all the disciples, they were traveling in the boat across the way, and on their way towards Capernaum, I believe 17 tells, entered a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. It was dark. Jesus wasn't with them. Well, there was this terrible storm, and through that storm, why we know that they found peace in the Lord Jesus as they met him out of the middle of the storm, even though he did not leave in the boat with them. However, he was there for them, and so we praise him for that always. And then we have the beautiful story of Peter that we covered last time we were together. And now we find that we're on the other side. The Lord Jesus is with them once again, and they have again had quite a gathering of people and even other folks that are kind of following the walk of Jesus just a little bit behind, and every time they get to a place, they have to travel to another place to catch up with him again. And we have in verse 24, now when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, and seeking for Jesus. They were looking for him. I hope today that you're looking for the Lord Jesus. I hope that you recognize the need, the void that's in your heart, and that you need the Lord Jesus to hold you and to sustain you, to save you. The Lord Jesus should be all of our lives as we walk each day with Jesus. It's a wonderful opportunity. And again, we find that they were seeking Jesus. Verse 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? They knew that he did not leave with the disciples, and yet there wasn't another boat. And so how did he get across? They come seeking. They called him Rabbi now. We have over in the 14th verse, they said that prophet should come. And so they're beginning to recognize again that Jesus is more than just a man. They're beginning to call him prophet. Now they're calling him Rabbi, which means teacher. And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. So the Lord Jesus here, as he looks very quickly at these folks and kind of faces and looks at them eye to eye, why he does not really answer their question of how he got over there. But he does explain to them that you've still got a problem with me. You're not recognizing, you're not accepting me as your Savior. You're not accepting me as God, and you must do that. You're not here because you want to be saved. You're not here because through the teaching and through the feeding of the 5,000 and through the testimonies that you've heard of folks concerning the storm and all these things, you're not here because of that. You're here because you were hungry,
rain out of the forecast,
I fed
you, kind of were talking
and now
this morning, you know,
you're hungry once again. And you found that if you follow this man, why, it's going to be a little easier walk if you don't have to buy food, if all the needs would be supplied by, if this Jesus can produce enough food to feed 5,000 from a young man's meal. If he can do that, then surely he can meet all the rest of my needs as well. So I'm just going to stick with him. I'm going to follow him. Well, there's some truth to that. Yes, he can meet your needs. But there's a need that you have much greater than to food or physical needs, whether it's housing or whatever it might be, clothing. There's a greater need than that you have that many people miss. Folks today can recognize very clearly if it's time to do some repairs on the house, and so we work and work and work to take care of those. It's time that we have to go to work each day so that we have food to put on the table. to feed our families. It's time that the old car, old truck is wore out, so now it's time to go replace it. Well, we go to work and we earn money so that we can buy that and take care of those things. We recognize needs of that sort, but a need that today is so ignored, and that's a need of a new heart, a need to be born again, a need to really have life, a need to have your sins forgiven. That's the need that people are ignoring today. They're filling everything else. They're taking care of everything else. Any other need that seems to creep up from here to there, and they take care of that. But they miss the greatest need that they have, and that's to have God back in their life. And the only way you can have God back in your life, to know God the Father, is to come to know the Son, the Lord Jesus. And you must come to Him today, come by faith with a repentant heart. Recognize that you're a sinner and recognize that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He was nailed to that cross. He was beaten before that. He went through a fake and phony trial before that. He was beaten and He was placed upon the cross of Calvary to die, and He did. His blood was shed there. He was taken off of that cross and He was placed in a grave, and He was there 3 days and three nights till He came out victorious, alive. So not only the death of the Lord Jesus, but also the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and also His precious blood, all brings us and gives us a forgiveness of sin, that we may get our hearts right with God again. He will come in to live with us, and we walk each day praising His name. That's what the Lord Jesus desired that they do, that they come to Him as Savior. But instead of that, these people came to Him for food. They came to Him for the physical needs. And again, I don't mean for you to misunderstand that He will take care of our physical needs, but God has given us a way to take care of our physical needs today, and that is to work. And as we look through these scripture here, why He seems that, verily, verily, I say unto you, and I'm down at verse 26 again, John 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, see ye seek Me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Did they miss the great miracle when Jesus handed out the bread and the 5,000 were fed? I mean, even though they were a part of it, were they so busy eating, filling their bellies, and eating and being filled, that they missed who did it and the way He did it? How can you be part of a miracle and not even recognize it? It's done all the time. One of the greatest miracles that's performed today is when you have a new life, when you're born again and come to the Lord Jesus. But so many folks miss that and ignore the need that that heart has. That old, wicked, sinful heart needs a Savior. Jesus believes in giving out help to people that are in need. These folks, this 5,000. He did it to show His power and strength, but He did it because there was a need there, wasn't there? They were traveling. They were hungry. There was no place to eat. Most of them had very little money, and so Jesus fed them. And Jesus will do the same to you as well when there's a need there. We have many verses of Scripture here that the Lord Jesus tells us to give, as the Lord Jesus gave to these folks and fed the 5,000. And so let's look to see at a few verses of Scripture here very quickly. If you'd go with me now to Proverbs, back in the Old Testament, you'll find Psalms, then Proverbs. As we go to Proverbs chapter 19... and you hear my Bible pages turning, I hope, because I'm turning right to it as well. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. And the Scripture tells us, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given him, he pay him again. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. If we show mercy upon the poor, if we come to help and to share, The Lord will bless us for that, and the Lord desires that we do that. Let's look at Proverbs 11:25. Go back a couple chapters. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. He tells us the liberal soul shall be made fat. The one that is willing to give. Not hoard his money, hoard what you have, but give it and give liberally. The Lord tells us there, he shall be made fat. The Lord is going to bless the giver. Now let's go back to Luke now, into the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 6. I hope that you know your Bible. I hope that you enjoy studying the books of the Bible. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Give, and it shall be given unto you. We're instructed by the Lord to take care of those things. Let's go back to James. Book of James. You'll find Hebrews, right behind Hebrews, you'll find James. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? See, we're told to meet not only the spiritual needs, but also the physical needs of folks. If there's someone you see and you know that's in need, then please help them. But be careful, my friend, if you're on the other side, because today we have built a society that seems as though they're very willing to receive handouts and take money that they have not earned. We have a government today, and we have many programs within the government that hands out money to help those that are in need. And the program, it's not that there's anything really wrong with the program, it's that they make it so available, and it's almost easier in some of the lower paying jobs. You can be on welfare and make more money because by the time you get the benefits, it's included with it. And so it promotes people not to work. And when something promotes people not to work, then to go to them and say, well, they have need. They need clothing. They need help with their heating or their electric bill, or they need help with their car. It's broken down. They don't have the money to fix it, and so we'll help to fix that. Why do they have that need? Is because physically, mentally, maybe they're not able to work, or are they just too lazy? And see, that's what Jesus was really kind of wondering about here. Not wondering, he knew. We wonder sometimes whether a person should be getting welfare or some sort of benefits that's handed out. Man's made to work. You need to find a job that you're capable of doing. Maybe you can't do everything. I can't do everything. So I find a job I can do. I find a job that physically and mentally I can handle, and I do the job to the best of my ability, and I earn a living for my family by that way. And you should do the same. Jesus here in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. The more that we hand folks something for nothing, the more people want. That's just the nature. Folks today that are taking handouts would have never, their father or grandfather or great-grandfather possibly would have never, ever thought to take a handout. They were a prideful people, and sometimes there's good in pride. and that is that you're not going to take a handout, you're going to work for what you have. And I believe the Word of God teaches us that, that we must work for what we have. We have one more verse of Scripture back here in the Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, concerning giving. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You see, there's when you give, you should give quietly to begin with to help. But I ask you that you see that the giving is something that there's a need there. I hope that you recognize there's a need there. And if you're listening today and you are taking a welfare check, and I guess I'm going to explain that just a little bit, and that is that you're getting something for nothing. You're getting something and you're not willing to work for it. Now, it's too bad that the government today would not spend some of their efforts in giving people jobs. Maybe they're not capable of making a full living, so they're forced to stay on the welfare. But why couldn't we share and do a little of both? Because to work. But after one generation of teaching people not to work, the second generation's lazier, and the third generation's lazier yet, and we have many families, many folks, that we have several generations of welfare. And it started because there was something given out when it wasn't worked for. And that's where we need to stop. And if you want to help somebody, see that the help is definitely needed. If you're one, my friend, and if you call yourself a Christian, this is all the more necessary for you to pay attention. Because we're going to go back to a scripture verse, and I'm going to read it for you, and then I want you to ponder on that. I want you to think about that. I may use the word ponder quite often, because that's something that you have to think on it. I don't want you just to put it aside immediately. I want you to think on it. Now, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, you've got time to find it because I'm finding it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The Lord Jesus knew here they were just coming for more food. And if he'd have fed them that day, they'd have followed him. But see, the heart would have never been changed. The heart would have never been changed. And so man is made to work, and man is made to recognize their need, and we need to depend upon the Lord Jesus, yes, for every need, for our food, for our house, for everything. But most of all, we must depend upon the Lord Jesus and know that He is our Savior, and He's the only Savior, the only way to be saved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now, we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For ourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be dischargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Paul did it so they could see how you do it. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, my friend, that's pretty clear, isn't it? And so there's a couple things here that I want you to see before we go on, because the Lord Jesus, he stopped. He said, you're following me because you just want to eat again. We are told by the other verses of Scripture here that we're to give, and the Lord Jesus gave when there was a need. But all of a sudden now, are the people just following him because they're hungry again? Why don't they go out there and work long enough to get their food and then come to Jesus? See, we're supposed to work. And what's the scripture tell us here? If any would not work, neither should he eat. If you're not going to work, you don't eat. That's a pretty simple principle, isn't it? And the Lord knew what was good for us, because you see, it's good for our body. It's good for our mind. It's even good for our soul when we work. We're to work, physically work. Today we have a society that not only hands out charity and hands out all these things for no work at all, but we also have a society that has trained us and taught us that our whole goal in life is to quit working. And once we can finally get to a point where we can stop working, boy, then we're successful. There is nothing in the Word of God that tells us to retire. Oh, if physically you get to a place you cannot handle a job anymore, then you can change jobs. Go to a different job. Maybe physically you can't do what some other man can do or some other woman can do, but you can do what you can do and do it to the best of your ability. Work. You'll find that many, many problems that you have physically and mentally come because you're not working. You need to work. The Lord knew these people needed to work. Yes, He gave them a handout. There was a need there. We are told to give those, help with those that are in need. And we're to do that. We're to recognize a need, and we're to help with that need. Whether to give them food or money, or maybe you're a mechanic and you can fix the man's car. But see that man is beside you helping you fix that car. And see, when that car gets fixed, that man goes to work. Don't just hand them money. Because that's the worst thing you can do to a man today, is to give him something for nothing. Man needs to work. Now we need to recognize very carefully that again, to give is a wonderful thing. There's many people that have great need because they can't work. But there's a multitude that can. And I ask that you recognize here, the Lord Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat and were filled. Is that the kind of lifestyle that you have? And you don't really know the Lord Jesus? At least these people were looking for Jesus. They were looking for Him for the wrong reason. We need to help people. We need to help them for the right reason, the God-given reason, because there's a true need there. But if you've been sitting around, my friend, I ask that you get up and get to work. You're going to feel better. God's going to bless you. There's going to be many things happen in your life when you begin to do that. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. It's always a joy to look through the Word of God, and we look through that next verse of Scripture and tells us, labor not for the meat. We spend an awful lot of time to fill our physical needs, and we're to work for what we have. But see that you keep the priorities straight. That you recognize that Jesus is God. And you come to Him as Savior. You recognize that you labor to put food on your table. Put a house over your head. But be careful that you don't labor all of your life for those material things. And you do not labor and recognize the need to come to Jesus as your Savior. Because everlasting life, coming to the Lord Jesus. So you see, we work just enough to meet our needs. The rest of the work that we do should be work of spiritual good, to take out the gospel of the Lord Jesus to a lost and dying world. It comes all together. The giving and the sharing and the working and the joy of being a believer in Jesus Christ. I hope you'll come to the cross of Calvary today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?